Blessed. Amen. I want to thank God for this team. We meet here in the church every Wednesday, and I just want to thank God for the opportunity to come together, even to sing for the Lord. Amen. And this team is going places. You need to pray for it. Very soon we are thinking of even going big. So we want to thank for our Mwalimu. We call him, he's a pastor, by the way, Pastor Ndumia, but we call him Ticha. So he's our teacher for music. Amen. So can you appreciate him for the good work that he does? Amen, amen. This morning, I hope you're ready to hear the word of the Lord. We have a man of God who is ready and able to bless us. I would like to welcome Pastor Chi to the microphone to come and deliver the word of the Lord. Can you welcome him with a hand? Amen. Pastor Chi, we love you, and we can't wait to hear what the Lord has deposited in your heart. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're not in the funeral house, eh? We're here to praise the Lord. We're here to give him the whatever is due to his name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just stand to our feet this morning. I want for us to, you know, sing this song. This is just me. When we are praising the Lord, there are times I feel like there is a theme song. And I wish I was here, I could sing it until the service is over. Amen. Because it's a theme song to me. I hope it will bless you. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Stillness, I know that you are God.
In the secret of your presence, I know there I am restored.
There is no one else.
else for me. Oh, none but Jesus, crucified to set me free. Now I live to bring Him praise.
No one, no one, none but Jesus, none but Jesus. Hallelujah. There is no one who can do it for you than Jesus. Hallelujah. He is the best gift that man can ever long for. That's the most precious God has given you and me. Jesus. The Bible says He was wounded because of my transgressions. He was bruised because of my iniquities. Says He bore all my sorrows and my infirmities. The chastisement of my peace, the Bible says, was laid upon Him. Hallelujah. You know what? Whenever I read Isaiah 53, where it says, no, you know, despite all that He did for us, we do not even esteem Him. We do not. Because we are so ungrateful. You know that? We are, including me. The Bible says He grew up like a tender plant from a hard ground. Just for you and me. You imagine. Again, Scripture says, unless the seed falls to the ground and die, but it also abides alone. I'm thinking about this Jesus. Bible describes Him as someone who came out. Now imagine, He's talking about a hard ground. Maybe let's put it this way for us to understand. A clay soil, you know, clay soil. And there is a seed they are struggling to come out. A tender plant struggling to come out. I believe with all my heart that's not an easy thing. It's too painful. I know the plant cannot talk, but that's a painful thing to go through. That's how Jesus is described. But He did it not for anyone, but for you and me. It wasn't that He may receive glory. He never even thought about that. He did it for you. Because again, the Bible says, because of the joy that was set ahead of Him, He endured the cross. Not for anybody, but for Julius. And I take this personally. I know He did it for me. He cried there, "It's finished." And you know, the devil pastor cannot put me down until he says, "You can," given permission. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we thank You. We give You the praise. We give You the glory. Oh, my God and my Lord. We thank You for all that You've done for us. My Lord, words cannot express how we feel. Thank You that today we can even stand and say we love You. It's because You first loved us. We thank You. We give You the praise. Hallelujah. Thank You for Your word this morning. I pray, Father, I stand here as a nobody, but a vessel for You. May You use me to touch that one whom You want to touch this morning. And I pray that Your word falls on good ground, Lord. Way to grow, germinate, bring forth much fruit, and fruits that will abide forever. anoint my lips of clay this morning in Jesus' name. Let every saint say amen this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You've seen preachers come here with a lot of notes on the papers. I've done that so many times. Amen. I've done it. I sit the whole night preparing the message. I mean, because I just want to go there and lay it, I mean, precept upon precept, line upon line. But there are times also when you're trying to prepare, and God says, no, I know preacher understands that. I don't want you. He gives you 3, 4, 5 scriptures. And the Holy Spirit takes over. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach from a blank paper. Blank. Amen. But I know what I'm going to preach will touch somebody this morning. Don't never be discouraged. Hallelujah. I know he's going to do it. 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20. Hallelujah. Chapter 20, and I'll explain, but I'll just read verse 16 and 23. The Bible reads, and Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold the days. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not first. I want to read first, not second, okay? Somebody is saying, you know, that's why it's good to write, you know? It's good to put it down all the time. Yes, it is. Hallelujah. It says, and they went out at noon, but first Kings chapter 20. I'll read two verses, 16 and 23. Yes. And they went out at noon, but Ben-Hadad was drinking himself in the pavilion. He and the kings, the 32 kings that helped him. Amen. I mean, they were just having a ball. I don't know whether they were in the pub and, you know, to those who've been there. It's like this guy had invited 32 kings, eh? Those he had recruited to go fight Israel with him. And because they were, I mean, in the past when they did that, they just destroyed Israel. Whenever they did that, they conquered the children of Israel. And here the Bible says when he had invited them, you know, you can go back and read everything. The Bible says he sat on his pavilion there. He had drunk with the kings. And you know when kings are drinking all the wines, all those expensive wines. Even before they went to fight Israel, because they were thinking this is a knockover. We'll just pass through. Amen. Like we've always done to them. We are going there to take them. Let's enjoy before we attack them. Look what was going on in their minds. 23. And the servants of the king of Assyria said unto him, their gods are gods of the hills, or god of the mountains. Therefore, they were strong. than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely shall be strong. Surely we shall be stronger than them. Amen. The scripture I've been thinking about so many days. That's exactly what the enemy does. And before I go any further, you know when they say the plan there, other versions they say, look, if we go and fight them, when they are on the mountains, we cannot defeat them. You know what? Because their God is the God, or their gods are the gods of the mountains. When they are up there, they are always going to be stronger than we are. But let's go and attack them where? When they are in the valley or in the plain. When we go there and attack them, they are weak. We're going to destroy them. Hallelujah. I just want to talk about the valley this morning. You know, I was thinking, I'm like, what? How does the valley form? You know the valley. How does the valley become into being? I believe to those who've studied some science, so you know how the valley usually starts. It's like the river was running. Amen. And then there is drought. And the valley dies or dries. When the valley dries, do you know the truth? When water is running, there is life in the water. Amen. There's fish swimming, animals swimming. You and me, we're looking forward to go draw water from the river and come and drink. It's all about life. When water is running, do you know what happened? We all rejoice because we know there is life. But when water dries, you know what follows is death. Because fish cannot live without water. There are certain animals which lives in the river. They cannot live without water. You go on, even if we are outside the river, we cannot live too long without water. And if water is not there, it's a sign we become weak whether you like it or not. Amen. The enemy knows. Their gods is the god of what? The mountains. It's not the god of the valleys. But I've read scripture. David, the scripture we call, he said, though I walk through the valley of what? Though I walk through the valley of death, I shall fear no evil. You know what? Even there in the valley is still my God. The same God who fought for me when I was on the mountain, he can fight for me even when I'm in the valley. That's what the devil doesn't know. And what he doesn't know is when I'm in the valley, that's when I want to get close to this God. Because I'm smelling death. This morning I was thinking, you know, the valley. Because there is a lot of death in the valley stinks. I'm trying to paint that crude scripture to make someone understand. Do you know what happens when you are walking through the dead bodies? What happens? You begin to stink like them. You meet someone, the way they look at you, because you are in the valley. Man, did you smell that smell when he passed by? You are in the valley. In the valley, That's where everybody looks down upon you, because they are on top of the mountain. To see you, what do they see? They will be looking straight on your head. It's in the valley. When you are in the valley, you become hopeless. When you are in the valley, whosoever looks upon you, all they think is, can anything good ever come out of that place? I mean, that person. Because he's in the valley. My Lord Jesus, David understood. When you are in the valley, you know what happens? That's when, because of the way you feel, the way, I mean, you complain because you are in the valley. You feel rejected because you are in the valley. But guess what? It's in the valley where God works on somebody. If you cannot believe him when you are in the valley, you can't believe him when you are up there. You cannot. Hallelujah. You see where I'm, this is, when you are out there and look, at times when you've been on top of the mountain and you go down there, it's not easy. And the enemy is looking at you and say, look, he's weak now. We can attack. We can destroy him. But David, who understood that my God is not only the God of the mountains, he's also the God of the valley, he wrote a song. Though I walk through the valley of death, I'm not going to fear any evil, because I know he's with me. Thy rod, O God, thy staff, they comfort me. Even when I'm in the valley, I know surely his goodness is always following me. Because you know what he said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. He said, lo, I'll be with you always. My Lord Jesus, even in the valley, you can feel him is there. You know, at times, you know, I sat down, I was thinking by myself. You know, we go through things. Some of it you'd think I can handle it myself. And some of it, can I say this? I know I haven't started to preach. Have you ever been in the place you find a brother, a sister? They look at you and they say, hey man, why are you looking at like this? Huh? What's wrong with you? Even before you explain what you are going through, you know what they will tell you? Brother, you need to be praying. You need to pray, brother. Tell me if you are a Christian. You know, at times I laugh. If you are a Christian and you're going through difficult times, what do you do? Tell me, guys. What do we do? The first thing you do, if we are on the knees. Because you don't want to be there. And you know it's only God who can get you out of there. You find a brother, instead of encouraging you, he's telling you, brother, go and pray. What is it? You know, I go for people who would say, instead of saying, go and pray, say, brother, I know what you're going through. I'm going to pray for you. It's different than go and pray. Because you don't even know whether I've been praying or not. Don't judge me because I'm in the valley. Don't do that. Amen. In this life, I've discovered as a Christian, whether you like it or not, and if you are called, you will pass through it. These are the people today we call David, a man after God's own heart. He went through the valley. That's why he wrote that song. Amen. It doesn't mean that maybe he did something wrong. Of course, there were times he had sinned. But when he went through that, you know what? It doesn't mean David was not praying. The Bible says, blessed is the man. It's Psalm 84, 6. It talks about someone who walks in the valley. In the valley, and says, you are blessed when you walk in the valley and you live what? Wells of living water. Even in the valley. Though I walk through the valley, let me just read that one, Psalm 23. Hallelujah. I'm out here not passing judgment on anybody, but guys, we need to know how to treat people when they are in the valley. It's not the time for us to judge one another. Amen. Oh, brother, you know what? You need to pray. When you pray, God will take you out. Yes, he's going to take me out. But you never know. You don't even know when I'm in the valley what I do. You don't know. Here the Bible reads, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Was it for him, you know, I said, for him to write this, David, a man the Bible described, a man after God's own heart. He said, though I walk through what? The shadow of what? though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For him, he's been in the valley. Amen. And he says, even in the valley, listen to me. I know God is with me. I know you protect me. I know you take me through. Even this one shall pass away. Even this one will be over. Was it God who led Ezekiel to the valley of dry bones? Was it God? Because the Bible says he led me there. Amen. He led me there just to teach him on how to have a good attitude. It's not because Ezekiel had sinned or had done something wrong. No. He went through that valley of dry bones so that God can teach him something. Dry bones. That's how, why he went through that. So that he can teach. He said, you go there. When you are in the valley, I'm going to speak to you too. It's in the valley when God tells you to do the impossibilities. You know, before I go any further, I want to testify. You know, guys, we need to start to be people who can feel with God. That's the cry of my heart. The other day, I'm on my knees and I'm telling God, I'm like, God,
You know what? When you've said that it's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what the Bible says. The other one is, as a man thinketh where? In his heart, so is he. So the problem is in the heart. And I'm telling God, I'm like, God, work on me. Can you just allow my heart to be inside your heart so that I can feel the way you feel when somebody's going through something, so that I can feel the same way you feel? Look, when I see someone going through the valley, he says, okay, I will teach you. Get there. Get in the valley of the dry bones. And then he says, you know what? I'm going to test your heart. And you know, Ezekiel was wise. God is telling him, he said, son of man. You know, he didn't say an angel. Amen. He didn't even say, he said, son of man, can these dry bones live again? You know, the wise prophet, what he said, Lord, I do not know. These are impossibilities. You see that? Those scars you are seeing there. And he says, can they live? He said, mm-mm. But you know, because you are God and you've spoken, you know. I do not know. The Bible says, call upon me and I will answer you. I'll show you great and mighty works which thou knowest not. Lord, I do not know. You know. You know. There are things in life you go through. You don't even know the source of that thing. You don't even know where it's coming from. You've stood, in the night you cry. You cry with your family. There are times you like, look, I'm the head of the house. I'm going to leave them. Lord, deal with me. I don't know. I don't understand. I just went through one thing. And Lord, I come out. I'm rejoicing. You have delivered me. Again, another thing comes. What's wrong with me? What have I done? Everybody. We complain. We murmur. I say, I'll tell you what. I want to work some impossibilities through you. I want to do it. If only you let me. If only you let me. Because if you look to man, they'll let you down. They did it to Job. His closest friends, you know what they said to him? Man, he has sinned. That's why he's going through what he's going through. And Job is sitting there, he said, look, I know I'm going through this. I don't even know where it's coming from. I've been faithful before this God. I've always prayed not only for me, but even for my family. Every day I sacrifice for the fear that my children can do something wrong and be stricken by this God. Why am I going through this? Even the wife stood there. Christine is not there, I'm safe. And I said, I'm going to mention, she's not there. As I talk to you, thank you, Tony. She's going, she's in there. They are going to DC with my daughter. She's not there. Even the wife of Job turned against him. Like, look, you believe in this God. I've seen you pray. I've seen you do A, B, and C. If this God really loves you, why has he allowed for you to go through what you are going through? He turned to his wife and he said, women, look. And he said, look, why do you speak like those? He didn't call a foolish woman. He said, why do you speak like those foolish women? He didn't call her foolish. You know that? He said, you speak like those who are foolish. Why?
I thought we've been too long together. You can understand this. And you are among them who are accusing me? And you know what God did for Job in the end? It's another story. So he doubled everything. Everything, 7 times. He became richer than he used to be. I'm in the valley of dry bones. Look at them there. God says, look, now that I've worked on your heart, the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, it's out of the abundance of the heart that you, the mouth, speaks. I've done it. I've worked in your heart. Can you now prophesy to these dry bones? Do you think that was easy? But the servant of the Lord looked at those bones and he prophesied. Suddenly, their life started to come. The Bible says they started to crack. Imagine you are going there. If I want, I can paint something, a picture, maybe a movie out of that. He's there and he just said, dry bones, live again. And suddenly, bones starts to jump. You see what I mean? And the Bible says bone started to join together. Soon as, you know, the flesh, I don't even know where it came from. Because before that, the flesh was the food of maggots. And life came into the dry bones. Tell me after that if Ezekiel was the same. His mentality changed. You know, at times I'm not judging anybody. Even me, I doubt myself. I'm like, Lord, am I really a Christian? You know what I mean? Am I? Because at times the things that comes out of my mouth, I would go there, but you know words are powerful because once they get out, you cannot retain them. That's why we gotta be careful. The Bible says, his pastor who quoted the scripture the other day, he said, look, we need to be quick to listen, but slow to speak. Because you know our words can either kill okay, build. I don't know why I'm even saying this. I was saying I doubt myself at times. You know that? And I'm like, Lord, am I truly a Christian? Because you know what the Bible says? He said, he who believes in him. And I'm just quoting scripture here. Don't. Look at me that way. He who believes in him, the Bible says, out of his belly shall flow what? Out of his belly shall flow rivers that gives life. If that's how Christians we're supposed to be. Because we are full of what? Life. When I speak, I need to speak life. I find my brother who's going through the valley. What should I do? Speak life. Give life. Don't make your brother become some vouchers food. Amen. You are in the place where you are. This is... You are in the place where you are not for you. Pastor Tone, I am in the place where I am not for me. And this, you know, we need to understand this. I'm in a place where I am not that I grow horns. No. I'm in a place where, and you know what, when you met me, it wasn't by accident. The one who knew you before you were conceived in your mother's womb and planned your life, he knew then that one day you were going to meet someone in the valley of Baca. He knew it. You come in now, you've received him as a Christian. He's even filled you with life. Because he knew one time you will go through that valley and you will meet someone in the valley of Baca. What you do will make you, will prove to you in other ways whether you are a Christian or not. The other day, Pastor sat here. It was last Sunday when we were honoring. You know the words which came out of many of you? Everybody. You stood here, you were saying, oh, you've done this. You've done this. You know, even when they were talking to you, I'm like, Lord, how many will be able to talk about me like that? Those are the things I envy. They were here, Pastor, you helped me. Pastor, you did ABCD for me. I thank God that he connected you to me. That's what a Christian is supposed to be. Because there will be many valleys in this world. When you accepted to be a Christian, listen to me. Right there and then you became a hand. Hand or a leg. Even the eyes God can see through. Amen. But we deny that. We deny that. May our hearts be changed. May our hearts be changed, people of God. And I'll put it this way. May we become Christian. Let's represent him well. Reading scriptures, I think it's 14. I will just quote Psalm 14, Psalm 14 and 15, where it says, look, when God, Israel out of Egypt, do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says he became their dominion. He became their dominion. He controlled their lives. They represented him well. They were there, even people before they reached the enemy's camp. You know what they say? We want to know their God. Because their God is the God of life. But I don't know if we do that to him. I don't know if we do that for him. Amen. I hope I'm not coming hard on anybody. But I will repeat this. You did not become a Christian for you. I did not become a Christian for me, no. I became a Christian for somebody else. I became a Christian so that Christ may be revealed through my life to someone. So that the giver of life can be seen by someone or be experienced by somebody through me. That's why I became a Christian. Amen. I just wanted to announce to somebody this morning, valleys are there. They'll always be there. But what matters is the way the people who claim to be Christian treat them who are in the valley. Amen. I'm done this morning. Thank you, Jesus.